flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Interesting names in free agency. Would you be willing to make a big time signing, maybe to add to wide receiver or any other position you felt the need to do?
I think we'll, depending on what happens at the quarterback position, I think we'll have some room under the cap to hopefully bring a free agent or two in that can help us.
I had only seen snippets of the Bob Pompiani interview with Art Rooney II. I'd only seen some of the answers in print. It wasn't until last night that I saw the full 12-minute sit-down posted. And when I saw it, this is the answer that jumped out at me for a couple of different reasons. And there's a couple of different topics that we can jump off that answer to get into. How much money do they think they're going to spend on quarterback? They've got $40 million in cap space right now. With some deft restructuring, they could have around $60 million in cap space. Depending on what they do with the TJ Watt contract, they could get more money in cap space. The Steelers shouldn't have to worry about what the quarterback's going to cost at all, Doran, unless they're paying top dollar for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you have to pay top dollar for Russ. At most, I think you're looking at $30 million. Now, that would cut sizably into that chunk. And with Justin Fields, I think you're looking probably at premium backup money, which would top out at about $15 million a season. If it's Justin Fields, and it is 15, then you're looking at $25 million in cap space, or you're looking at $35, $40 million in cap space, depending, again, on the restructures. I wouldn't be worried about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And well, so the other thing it tells me, I'm sorry, Doran, is like, are they going to overpay for one of these guys?
They're probably going to have to. I mean, think about it. This is where the agents make their money. They know how desperate the Steelers are. Every quarterback that's out there, Sam Darnold knows how desperate the Steelers are. Russ, their agents, the player and the agent, Russell Wilson and his agent knows how desperate the Steelers are, and especially Justin Fields' agent and himself know how desperate the Steelers are. You could jack that price up. It's like, what are you going to do? We talked about it yesterday, Crowley, man. Like, if they don't sign one of these guys, at least Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, who is the Steelers' quarterback? They know that, so it's like, all right, you think you're going to lowball me with a – if I'm Justin Fields, you're going to lowball me with a backup money? No, $20 million a year because you need me.
So I wanted to get into this portion of the quote later in the show, but here we are because I brought us here. If Justin Fields wants $20-plus million, thank you, but no thank you. Appreciate your time. Thanks for leading us to a 4-2 record. We really like your character. You're fun to watch. I ain't paying that guy $20 million. I might consider doing it for a year, but Art said in the gathered media assembly that he wants to sign one of these guys to a multi-year deal. I'm not tying myself to Justin Fields for $20 million each of the next 2 years.
But you'd be willing to pay Russ 25?
No.
Would you be willing to play Russ 20?
No. I don't want to spend that kind of money on a quarterback.
Well, Russ is going to go lower than 20.
I think he's going to go higher than 20.
Right.
So he's out for me, totally. And the question then becomes, would you be willing to pay $20 million a season for Justin Fields? And my answer is absolutely not. They got too much other crap going on that they need to pay for.
Then where do you go?
Then I start tanking.
And underneath Mike Tomlin, you think that this franchise will do that?
No, I absolutely don't think they would do that, but that's what I
would do. That's what you would do.
And maybe tanking's too strong a word. I'm just not paying a premium at quarterback. If Justin Fields is going to cost me $20 million, I'm going to sign somebody for cheaper than that, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to start overspending on other things. Now, without one of these two quarterbacks, it's going to be tough to entice a wide receiver to come here. But money talks. And so I would be willing to overspend on wide receiver and underspend on quarterback.
You'd be willing to overspend on wide receiver, underspend on quarterback, overspend on the receiver that doesn't have a quarterback?
Yes. Because at some point you're going to have a quarterback. I'm trying to build up this roster as best I can, and I can't allow overpaying a quarterback to hurt me there.
You can move the money around certain years too. I mean, especially up front, backload it.
But then I don't want to deal with a dead cap hit on a quarterback when I might have my future quarterback already in place. Like, an example of that would be, okay, you sign Russ to a 3 or 4 year deal that you really consider a 1 or 2 year deal, but you backload those final few years of the contract. Well, what happens if next year, and I'm just throwing a name out there, Drew Aller has the greatest season that we've ever seen, and oh my God, he's a can't miss guy, and you draft Drew Aller next year. Well, now you can't surround him with talent because you're paying Russell Wilson to be a $30 million backup. I can't do that. I am worried, based on that answer, that they are so desperate that Justin Fields could be your guy next year at like $25 million.
Right.
And while I do think you're going to have to outbid teams for his services, I don't want them to outbid themselves more than anybody else. And that answer scared me. That's not the topic I wanted to lead with, though.
No.
I want to get into that later on in the show with Pat Bostic. What could they do this offseason that would make you go, hey, whoa, I'm actually excited about the trajectory of this franchise? Because they did stuff last offseason that made me go, oh, hey, I'm excited about the trajectory of this franchise. They overhauled the quarterback room. They spent more money on a free agent in Patrick Queen than they ever had. They did some stuff that made you go, okay, they're aggressive now. They traded Deontay Johnson, which the timing of that was whack, but they actually did it. And you thought, okay, this franchise is in good hands with Omar Khan. They know what they're doing. They wanted to be urgent. Why'd that they take so long to come out of my mouth? They're going to be urgent. Art Rooney II said, you got to be urgent. So they were. They were aggressive. And I think a lot of us came out of the offseason wanting a wide receiver, but also understanding they did an awful lot. If they do, quote unquote, an awful lot during this offseason, but offensively, I'll go, oh, hey, they're moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Short of that, there's nothing they can do that's going to make me feel good about this franchise. That's what I need to see. And then 1B would be actually expanding their coaching staff again, with a focus on the offensive side.
Draft included with this?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going first round receiver, second round D tackle, third round running back. Sign a DK Metcalf if he gets released.
If they did that, I'm not doing somersaults in the street because they're still not going to have their franchise quarterback. But I might throw a fist pump up. That would be almost an ideal offseason for me.
And then get Justin Fields underneath $20 million if you can.
That's the perfect offseason.
And then get Trey Lance under $10 million if you can.
Doran, you should be the general manager.
Then I'd be like, okay.
Yes, 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 yes. Now, I saw someone for Steelers.com yesterday said, if the Steelers draft a wide receiver in round one instead of a defensive lineman, that they're going to lose their mind. Jerry Dulac has also been on this. They need a defensive lineman train. Mike Tomlin has spent a ton of time, according to reports, at the Senior Bowl scouting defensive linemen. Talking to the kid from Kentucky.
Yep.
Going out on the field. Personal one-on-one defensive line coach Mike Tomlin. They're focusing a ton on that position. They need it. I'm not going to dispute that. Four of their six regulars are over 30. Their best defensive player last year is in his mid-30s, and at some point ain't going to be an all-pro anymore because that's not the way that life works.
Yep.
But if they draft a defensive tackle in round one, I'm going to lose my mind. Sign a wide receiver. Maybe two. Get Justin for under 15. Draft a wide receiver round one. D-tackle round two, fine. Deep D-tackle draft. And because it's such a deep running back draft, yes, draft one in round three. That can be a plug-and-play guy that's going to be a 1A, 1B with Jaylen Warren. That, to me, is an offseason that, as a Steelers fan, I can get excited about.
Mm-hmm.
But you just know they're going to draft a D-tackle round one.
Yep.
You just know they're going to go out and try to buy a number one or number two corner, now that we know that they actually will be active in free agency because they did it last offseason. They're going to spend more money. They're going to allocate more resources to the defensive side of the football. You just know it.
Yes, you do. You do.
And I can't stand that. But the question at 412-928-9370, what does this offseason need to look like for you to be excited going into next season? We had a meeting with Craig after the show. Oh, my God. Are we about to enter a period of apathy? Like, are people going to be sick of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Are you going to be hate-watching or, oh, my gosh, not caring, not consuming content the same way that you have for years because the franchise is in the dark ages? I'm concerned about it. But one offseason where they spend money offensively could change my tune. What would it take for you to change yours? 412-928-9370. We'll start right there today. We would love to talk to you coming up next. Ben Roethlisberger also firing shots at the organization. And he didn't use the word cheap, but he almost did.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of room for that. Expand the strength and conditioning staff, expand the training staff, expand equipment staff, all that stuff, but that's money. Yeah. And we all know that the Rooneys aren't putting a lot of extra into that stuff. That's just the way they've never done it that way. So don't expect that to change. But there's absolutely, I think, room to grow in terms of extra coaches. You know, everyone had one position coach. I remember going to one of the Pro Bowls, and I think the Houston Texans were the coaching staff. And I remember sitting in a quarterback meeting room at the Pro Bowl. You had the quarterback coach, and there were like two or three other coaches in there. Mm. And I'm like,
what are you guys doing?
These are all like their coaches.
Ben Roethlisberger said that, Doran.
That's a long time ago, because I can attest to that. I mean, 2010, I mean, everybody had an assistant coach to their individual coach. And this was 2010 in Houston.
They didn't even have a quarterback coach for a period with Ben and Mason Rudolph. A quarterback coach. And you know why that is? Now that I think about it, and I haven't thought about it until this very moment, it's because you had Ben.
Right.
And so you didn't think you needed somebody to coach the quarterbacks, and you cut corners. When you look at real cash spent this year too, not like that fake, you know, cap cash, Steelers were like 28th in the league in real cash spent. Now, I'm not going to say they don't try to win. They do always spend to the salary cap. And there are times when they are at a different spot on that list in terms of real money spent. There are. But there's a salary cap for players. They just got Akrisher to come on, right? Because of the money-making aspect of that. And they're not folding that into the staff.
Nope.
Now, they pay Mike Tomlin a lot, but they don't pay the rest of the staff a lot. I saw Pony tweet out yesterday from a website that tracks these kind of things that Terrell Austin's making less than $1 million.
That's crazy.
That's a defensive coordinator in the NFL. Now, I know that the Penn State guy that they just brought in, Jim Knowles, who's a hell of a coordinator, was at Oklahoma State, was at Ohio State, he's making 3.4. Don't even focus on that guy. That's the most a defensive coordinator, to the best of my knowledge, has ever made in college football. West Virginia is paying their defensive coordinator more than the Steelers then. Pitt, with Bates, probably paying more than $1 million. He's one of the best around. The Steelers are paying him $900,000?
That's wild.
So coaches don't count against the salary cap. If you're looking for a competitive advantage, that would be an avenue. I don't know how much it helps, how much it doesn't. I think you can look at staff sizes around the NFL, and there are going to be some teams with big staffs that aren't good, and there's going to be a lot of teams with big staffs that are good. But to me, it's the principle of the thing. You are capped with players. You are uncapped with coaches. You should be trying to do whatever you can to give yourself any little edge wherever you can find it analytically. Clock management. It might not help, but what's the harm? And so I said in the first segment, the number one thing they could do this offseason that would make me go, ooh, they're moving in the right direction, is actually spend money like the rest of the league does on offense. The other thing would be if they did what the Ravens just did. And the Ravens, they pay a former defensive coordinator, a former head coach in the NFL to come onto their staff and be an analyst and an assistant coach. If the Steelers did that on the offensive side, I would say, okay, finally, it's late. It's 2025. You should have been doing this for a while, but at least you're doing the right thing now.
And it absolutely does help, though. Like you just said, you don't know if it helps or not, and I could see that, but it does help. Like it's the extra individual time that you know one coach cannot give to five, six, seven, eight guys. Then you have another assistant coach of the individual coach, and you split it up. Okay, so four guys can get that individual attention. It's the extra set of eyes, the extra set of ideas, and not just having extra personnel of like young up-and-comer, hey, this is your first opportunity, we'll show you the ropes, and you're going to see how we do things. No, get like dudes that have been around the league that know and can infuse certain ideas.
Detroit's done that really well.
I mean, so many assistant position coaches that were a part of teams, a part of big staffs, are becoming offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators right now. I mean, Arthur Smith is the one prime example. Like, a guy was head coach 2 years ago, and he was my assistant tight ends coach in 2014. Like, and he mattered. Like, he had a say. He helped. He helped individually. Like, you know, he did different things. And, like, it does matter. It really does. And,
well, it's with kids too, right? Like the ratio of teachers or faculty to students, that's always been a big thing. Like you don't want one teacher for like 50 students.
Right.
You think those kids are going to get the best possible education they deserve? No. When I say I don't know if it helps, what I should have said is there isn't this correlation where the bigger the staff, the more success you have. Like there are teams that have big staffs that suck. Now, that's not going to keep me from doing it because I do agree with you. How could it hurt? If I'm a nickel corner and you've got a nickel cornerbacks coach, I'm probably going to get better at a faster rate if that guy has any idea what he's doing.
Yes.
But if you've got one secondary coach who's coaching the safeties,
one voice,
the nickels, the outside guys, one voice, no diversity of thought, then, yeah, you're probably not going to learn at the appropriate rate. And I think there's a direct correlation between how vanilla the Steelers are defensively and how few voices they have in their defensive meeting room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to hear from Julian Edelman, who, my God, crushed Mike Tomlin, coming up in the next segment. If you've got a big defensive staff and you can explain your defensive schemes one-on-one or one-on-two because you've got so many guys, that's going to help as compared to I've got Tomlin and a defensive coordinator. Here's what we're going to do on the defensive side. Like, I don't think you can get as intricate defensively as you would want to.
No.
So, yeah, it is a big deal. And here's the text at 412-928-9370. And the text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury attorney, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I enjoy you guys on my ride to work in the morning. Thank you. But we got to talk about something else. My gosh. Look, I understand the Steelers fatigue because so much of what's going on with the Steelers right now can be spun negative because I think we're all observing it the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot good going on right now. I get the sentiment. We got to talk about something else. A Hall of Fame quarterback for your franchise just came out and basically called the owner cheap. That's a massive story.
Yes.
Massive story. And he's not wrong. We went to the website yesterday. They have 18 coaches on staff. Art said in the press conference they have 27. Then why do you list 18?
Right.
And four of them were strength and conditioning people who have no input on game plan or anything like that. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Doran, but just because you're on the NFL strength and conditioning staff doesn't mean that you played football, right?
Like, right. A lot of them didn't.
Yeah.
Some of them did, some of them didn't.
So those people aren't sitting there going...
They're not going into meetings.
Right.
No. They're drawing up, okay, like, what's the calisthenics for the day? How are we going to warm these guys up so they don't, blow out calf muscles?
Which they didn't even do that well this
year. Exactly. They're the get-back guys on the sidelines.
So really, when you're talking about it, it's 14 people that are football people.
Yes.
That's not enough.
No.
That's not enough. And again, to me, you can speak to the tangible benefits, and you just did really well. I can't. But what I can say is you've got an opportunity here that you're missing. You've got money that could be invested into a coaching staff that is going someplace else. Is it going into facility upgrades? Like what? No, we just saw the report card come out last year for the NFL Players Association. Their facilities are draconian.
Mm-hmm.
So where's that money going?
My thing is with what Art said with the 27 staff members. It's like okay, I'll let you have that, right? All right, but okay. So who is the 27? That's my thing, because are they just names or are they guys? If there's 27, tell me who the names are. Do I recognize that name? Because I shouldn't recognize at least four of those names that are helping and supporting the actual coordinators and individual coaches.
Yes.
Like, is there a Frank Reich on your staff? What's the guy, the old coach? He was a senior associate advisor whenever I was in Houston. Ray Rhodes. He was a head coach of the Eagles for a long time, right? And I was like, Ray Rhodes is here? They're like, yeah, he's just here to just oversee everything. He was just there. Because he had experience.
Yeah.
That's a name that you see, like, if you have one of the 27. One of the 27 that they have, if there is 27, I don't recognize any names. And I'm not slighting those guys because they're working and they're trying to get themselves a great opportunity. But whenever we say expand the coaching staff and add to, the position groups and to the coordinators and the assistants, where's some of the guys that are, there's a lot of guys that want to get back into coaching that have been coaching for 30 years that have names that can help. And for me, for real.
Doug Marrone just got hired as an offensive line coach. You had mentioned him before. He's one of the better, more well-respected offensive line coaches of the last, 25 years. And you've got Pat Meyer and you've got Broderick Jones flapping in the breeze. I'm looking at the Detroit Lions coaching staff right now. We kind of played with this yesterday. DetroitLions.com, Doran, because we did it with the Steelers. JT Barrett is their assistant quarterback coach. That guy tore it up at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Brunell is their quarterback coach.
Mm.
Mark Brunell. These are names you recognize.
Yep.
And if we recognize them, and I think this matters, your players recognize them and your players respect them.
Oh, yeah.
Like guys you grew up watching, that's important. Antoine Randall, their wide receivers coach. Not only do they have a quarterbacks coach, who everyone knows, they have an assistant quarterbacks coach. Oh, and by the by, they have a passing game coordinator. I look at defense. You got Deshae Townsend as your defensive passing game coordinator and defensive backs coach. They got names that you recognize. Guys that are respected. The Detroit Lions, just as an example here, because I do think they're avant-garde. I do think they're cutting edge. I do think they're the hot young thing right now. They have two special teams coaches listed, and then they have their strength and conditioning staff as a totally separate thing. Like, I'm looking here, they got 25 coaches, including their strength and conditioning people, whereas the Steelers have 18, including their strength and conditioning people. There's a difference there. There's diversity of thought. Mike Tomlin just sits there, and here's what we're going to do on defense, instead of having seven people there say, well, you know what, I actually saw this, or I actually saw that. The fewer people you have, the harder it is to scout. And when you're game planning, right, Doran? Like,
absolutely.
If I've got seven guys on my defensive staff, you might have one guy who says, and this is granular, and it also might be limited understanding for me, but like, hey, I know when I pick this up just watching film, if they're in this bunch set on third down and whatever, they like to run this, and they like to run that off of this. You might have missed it because you are the head coach and calling all the defensive shots. I saw this. You might want to pay attention to it.
I don't know how much of a say those people do have, too, with whoever's on the staff as well.
With the Steelers.
But that's how it should work. You're exactly right. That's how it should work. But with the people that are, you know, helping the Steelers and a part of the staff, I don't know how much say they really have whenever you do find something on film to go to Mike Tomlin and say, hey, they're running this. Maybe we should counter with this type of defense.
Right.
Is he going to be like, yeah, okay? Or is he going to actually use that intel? I don't think he will. I don't think he wants input. And it does alarm me, too, how many former Pittsburgh Steelers are coaches now, and none of them are on the
staff. And not here.
And they're good coaches, not just guys that have jobs because they're former players. You just named Brandon Well. I mean, Hines Ward's out there. Larry Foote, Deshae Townsend. None of them are Steelers coaches?
William Gay is on the
William Gay
Washington Commanders coaching staff.
None of them.
Who I'm looking at theirs right now. It's massive. Darnell Stapleton's on their staff. Someone texted in and said, look at the Dan Quinn staff here. You got William Gay, and you got Darnell Stapleton. I bet you if I jumped around to just a couple of random teams, I would find some Steelers.
Yep.
Hines Ward wanted to come back last year.
Yep.
And they hired Zach Azani, who's supposed to be this hard ass. But who are you going to respect that guy? Are you going to respect Hines Ward?
And especially a guy that knows the culture. That's another, you know, kind of angle to it. Like, you want to preach Steeler culture. You want to preach the way that you do things, Mike Tomlin, and is your voice becoming stale? You have guys out there that are coaching that have played for you, that if they got an opportunity to coach back at in the Steelers organization, you don't think that they would show and preach and show an example how the culture is supposed to be?
Oh, man, it would be, I think, a huge deal. You know, we talk about the Steeler way. The Steeler way anymore is mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
But William Gay knew a different Steeler way.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Darnell Stapleton, just to name one that I just stumbled upon here, he won a Super Bowl. Larry Foote. Guys like that who can ingrain into you the culture of how it used to be. How it used to be, starting in like 2017, not so good. Julian Edelman was part of that. Against the Pittsburgh Steelers for the New England Patriots. Wait until you hear what he had to say about Mike Tomlin. Holy cow. Some scathing comments. That's next. You can give us a call on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
You knew exactly what they were doing every time. And they still do what they do. They still do the same damn that when I was playing Tomlin's defense.
Steeler football.
I'm like, what the? We still have linebackers covering the three slot?
Yeah.
Every time we play the Steelers, I have at least 9 catches. Coach, you would think that they would change it.
Right.
No, but they do what they do.
Oh, my God. Julian Edelman, former New England Patriots wide receiver. You know who he is. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can also tweet us at @_AdamCrowley, @ScoreAndDoran. Brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Pat Bostic going to be joining us in about 16 minutes here. Doran, that is scathing.
Mm-hmm.
From Julian Edelman. And look, like the Ben comments, we have talked about the frugality of the Rooney family for a while now and how they're always going to spend to the cap, but they'll find ways to cut corners at other places. That engagement survey comes out last year from the NFLPA. Like, they're not going to spend a ton of money on facilities. But when Ben says something about it, we're going to talk about it. We have said for a while that the Steelers are predictable defensively. This isn't new information. But when a guy who played against them a lot comes out and says it, and says it as strongly as Julian Edelman just did, we're going to talk about it. And then my emotions, they start to run hot again. Because during the season, oh man, they are predictable. Boy, TJ's in the same spot every play. Boy, Minkah Fitzpatrick's in the same spot every play. Man, they blitz less than any team in the NFL. You know what they're going to do. Well, you forget about it. Season's over. You go a couple of Sundays, Saturdays, Thursdays, or Mondays without having to think about the Steelers or getting angry watching them. And then the emotions come back up when Julian Edelman goes, yeah, they're doing the same stuff they've always done. It drives me up a wall. They've got, for my money, good enough players to be good defensively. But when you know where great players are, it makes it a lot easier to stop.
You know, it is. I mean, you talk about the evolution of this franchise, and it's just, and you just kind of nailed it with the little survey that came out last year. It's not evolving in any area. And then you can just obviously focus to the offense too. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, you know what they're going to do. Like, if I'm a defense, I know exactly what they're doing. When I watch the games on Sundays, I know when they're going to run the ball. I know when they're going to pass the ball. I know what type of pass is going to be. I know what type of set the offensive line is doing. I mean, they are very, very, hey, this used to be the brand of Steelers football where we take the game to you and you have to stop us and we'll just out-bully you. And we don't have to do anything exotic. We don't have to change because we are tougher and we are Steelers. Like, that used to work, but it just doesn't work anymore. And you have to evolve. And not just evolve on the field and evolve off the field. And if you're not evolving off the field, you're never going to evolve on the field.
That's really well said.
You're not.
Defensively with Dick LeBeau, they would do stuff and you'd go, whoa, damn. I mean, Kurt Warner got confused in the Super Bowl, threw a pick six to James Harrison. Now, part of that's the freelancing. Part of that's the ability to actually be allowed to freelance within a Dick LeBeau scheme. Troy Polamalu was doing all kind of funky stuff. They weren't just better than you. They didn't just have better players than you. They had that. They were also smarter than
you. Yes.
When I think about the 2013 through the 2015 Pirates, the best three-year stretch of the Pirates that we've seen in our lives, our cognizant lives, Doran, they were smarter than everybody else. They were shifting more than anybody else. They were pitching inside. They were pitched to contact. They were smarter. They were on the cutting edge. And then, of course, you know, the Rays started doing that kind of stuff, and they're a really smart team, so then the Dodgers just take the Rays guy, and now the teams with the most money could also be the smartest. But the Pirates were smarter. The Penguins, in 16 and 17, the league had got big. The big term that was thrown around was heavy. Everyone's heavy. All these teams are heavy. So what did the Penguins do? They went with speed. They became the fastest team in the NHL. Oh, you all want to start banging bodies and you want to grind teams down. We're going to possess the puck in a different way. We are going to zig when everyone else is zagging. They were smarter than everybody else. The Steelers, they're not smarter than anybody. They're cavemen. They're draconian. You're so right. Julian Edelman's talking about how predictable they are on defense. And my God, it's obvious to anybody with eyes who knows a thing or two about football that they're predictable. Offensively, it's the same way.
Same way.
They're averaging they averaged this year 4.5 yards per play on first down. Why is that? Because they had the highest percent of runs in the league on first downs. They are predictable, and they're not good enough to be predictable. You knew that the 70s Steelers are going to run cover two. But they were better than you. Steelers aren't better than you, and they're not smarter than you. And it takes a while to accrue talent. It shouldn't take that long to think outside the box. It's going to take a couple of off-seasons of drafts and free agency to get this roster anywhere near as good as the Philadelphia Eagles roster. But can you be smart? Can you go about things in an intelligent way? Well, they're not. It's frustrating.
Yeah, and it starts up top, and we say this every day, but, I mean, he Mike Tomlin's not going to change, and he thinks his method works, and, like, that's what he's going to roll out there. It's going to be like a mano-a-mano. That's his mentality. It's like, we have TJ Watt. That's what whenever he goes into those meetings, and it's like he sees an offense, and he runs those clips of their best players and best plays, and we got a TJ Watt. Like, that's the solution on defense. Not like, okay, like TJ Watt, we're gonna have you drop in this coverage, we're gonna have you do this, you're gonna move around so nobody knows who you are, and they have to, you know, act like you're the mic, but who's the other mic, and then that we're gonna bring that guy in a blitz and TJ's gonna drop. Like, no, we have a TJ Watt. TJ Watt's like, yeah, like, you know, those guys are getting paid too on the other side. Like, I'm one of the best, I get that, but like, you know, they know where I'm coming. Like, they know what's happening.
Would it kill you, Terrell Austin, Mike Tomlin, to like five times a game? Like, help me get single blocked? Like, could you throw me a bone every now and again? I don't think it's coincidence that now, as TJ gets older, I think he wore down by the end of the year.
For sure.
And he got hurt, too, and I don't think he ever recovered, but...
But he gets hurt every year.
Right.
Too. I mean, but I mean, that's a part of the game. I mean, he's going 100 miles per hour. I'm not saying that he's soft or anything.
No.
No chance. But, like, I mean, he does, have an injury every single year, which everybody does, but he seems to have lingering ones.
Right. And I'm not putting it all on the coaching staff, but on every key third down, it's, I got to fight through the right tackle, the tight end, and a running back's going to try to take my knees out.
Mm-hmm.
Every single passing situation of every single game all year long, and I'm not 25 anymore. And it's just going to wear on you. His statistical decline at the end of the year was very much what Myles Garrett dealt with the year prior, where Miles was shot out of a cannon in this absolute force, and then down the stretch, there's just nothing left. It's not that they're putting too much on TJ, but I think it would be a breath of fresh air if once every now and then you throw an extra pass rusher coming off that side.
Right.
Like we saw at the end of the Bills-Chiefs game where they blitzed the corner. You're allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with Keith Butler, which is what's really frustrating. And, of course, they did it with Dick LeBeau. I mean, they were blitz-happy teams. And they blitzed a ton when you had James Harrison and Lamar Woodley. Like, you're allowed to do that. And there's just zero imagination on the defensive side. And I think it's all tied together. It's a small staff. It's not enough diversity of thought. And you just make it easy on the opposition.
And I think they're so worried about the back end having to hold up in main coverage a lot. You know, I don't know how much faith. Like, we could say that they have a lot of faith in Joey Porter Jr., but, you know, to single him up, it just shows me that, now Mike Tomlin gets with young players. Like, it's like, okay, like, I'm going to give you some, and I'm not going to give you it all.
I look at the Eagles' defense with a lot of young guys. Cooper DeJean. They got a couple of rookies.
Quinyon Mitchell.
He's a rookie. Couple of young guys on the back end that are starters. Vic Fangio's defense, incredibly complex. They seem to be able to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm giving up big plays regardless defensively, I'm going to start bringing the house every now and again. Because if I'm giving up the big play anyway, why not try to create more negative plays? There's zero imagination defensively. There's zero imagination offensively. And it's why the defense, because their players are so good, kick the hell out of bad quarterbacks and bad offensive teams. But the second you've got a good scheme, good quarterbacks, you get picked apart.
Yep. I would love to play against this, you know, somebody like Matt Stafford. Or somebody, you know, a veteran, they would love to play against the Steelers.
Dak,
you know,
Prescott picked them apart, Doran. I mean,
it's easy. You know where they're going to be.
That's why Joe Flacco comes in.
Yes, and picks them apart.
And picks them apart.
He knows where they're going to be. Nothing's going to change.
Right.
You're not going to be surprised. Quarterbacks getting off their game is whenever they're surprised about something. And then they start getting skittish and they get the yips. And it's like, okay, like I'm hesitant. You never feel that whenever you're a quarterback going against the Steelers, unless you're like a young player that, you know, is in your tackle stinks and he has to go against TJ Watt and TJ gets the best of him early.
We've talked about this a bunch and you said it. It's a player's game. And I agree with that. Ben Johnson, it's a player's game. But to a point, you have to help your players. You have to put your players in a position to succeed. That's what coaching is. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township.